This is Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Now here's your host, the guru himself, John Hansen.
Good afternoon and welcome to a Wednesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. What's going on? I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com. This program, as always, is being produced by Mr. Michael Cohen, who is on cloud nine because the news just dropped that his New England Patriots have signed Tommy Cutlets, a.k.a. Tommy Chowda, now as he becomes a New England Patriot. But we have other news, notes, and items of particular interest to cover here at the top of the program. Here on this Wednesday edition of the program, we'll go around the league and a lot going on. The Adam Thielen trade, which I'm pretty sure I predicted that yesterday or Monday. I was very confident that that was going to happen. We'll break it all down. And today we are focusing on running backs. So we've got your fantasy plan of action at running back. This is the time to draft. These next 8 days are ideal. The next week is perfect. So we'll talk running backs, targets in your draft, players that I'm going to circle on my cheat sheet, if you will, and we have reasons why. We'll chop it up with Ryan Heath of FantasyPoints.com and Fantasy Points Data, one of the rising stars in the fantasy industry. If you follow him on Twitter or if you're on the X machine, you know all about Ryan Heath. He came on the show a bunch of times last year. He's got some really good props to deliver here on today's show for the entirety of the season. Very data-driven. He is completely unemotional with this stuff, which, you know, that's probably good because I do get a little emotional. He's all about the data and all that, giving out really good picks. And hopefully that's what I'll do at the end of the program in the final segment where I pop out my favorite running back targets. Kind of similar to what we do during the season, but we're all about each week, of course. But now we've got this week plus to work with, so we'll smash some running back props. And I'm going to make these official, by the way, in terms of the propage. Like, we're going to officially record the results, and we'll comment during the season to see how we went. And we'll talk about a lot of these players during the season, of course. But let's kick off with some news and notes, and none bigger then the news that came down the line about Rashee Rice, who has in fact accepted and will serve a 6-game suspension and starts now. So per Adam Schefter, he's going to miss weeks 1 through 6. Unfortunately, the bye weeks doesn't really matter. Even if they had a bye there, that doesn't count. So he's going to miss their first 6 games, which occur over the first 6 weeks of the season. You know, their schedule is not great, so I'm not that, you know, I'm not lamenting much here that he's going to miss the Eagles, the Giants. They could be really good on defense. Their defensive front is nasty. The Ravens, we do have the Jaguars and the Lions and the Chargers in week number one. I think it's worth noting that Rashee Rice, I think, is still worth a pick. It's all about those high-impact players at the end of the day. I think now with this news, he'll probably drop 7th round, 8th round, something like that. Like, try and think back of your, if you play fantasy, like, how many times have you really truly lamented, oh, that 7th round pick of mine didn't really work out? No, we don't really care that much if our 7th round pick doesn't work out. So why wouldn't we take a shot on Rashee Rice? I understand, you know, some rosters, you don't have that much flexibility. It's a wasted spot of the bench. That is fine. You have to deal with that on your own. I don't know every single league parameter, but generally speaking, I want a major needle mover on my side. It's not like you're going to take a zero when you have Rashee Rice on your roster in the first 6 weeks of the season. Heck, you can even get, I think, Hollywood Brown as a pretty good insurance policy. Now, Hollywood's been banged up last few weeks. I think he's been practicing. I know he returned to practice last week, and I haven't heard that he's stopped practicing. So I would think we're trending toward returning. This is also, I mean, this boosts up Hollywood Brown a little bit of a wide receiver handcuff. And I think it also boosts up Xavier Worthy. They're going to need him even more in that short to intermediate passing game and all that good stuff. But let's not also forget, and I don't like him. I used to like Juju Smith-Schuster, but I've been very anti-Juju for a number of years just because I saw like the game falling off. And I'm like, that's not good. He's not as good as he used to be, but he's still kind of good. In fact, in terms of a Rashee Rice replacement, he's not that bad because he knows how to find those little soft spots in the zone. He caught a ball in their last game. That was actually a pretty nice play. So I think KC will be all right. This does, you know, hurt a little bit, but let's not forget how much of a needle mover that Rashee Rice was. Through week three, he was unbelievable. 29 targets, basically 10 a game, 288 yards, almost 100 yards a game, and two tutties, 21.6 fantasy points per game. He was the wide receiver two. If he would have maintained that all year, he would have ended the season as the wide receiver two, and he would have been a first round pick this year. So with that said, I have to say I would certainly seriously consider Rashee seventh, eighth round. Again, you're not taking a zero. When he returns, you got the Raiders, Commanders, Bills. Okay. Bye week. Now you do have two Denver matchups, which is a little scary because they're a really good defense. But I almost feel like Rashee Rice is somewhat indefensible in terms of the short passing attack. He'll find those little soft spots, get some run after the catch. I mean, it's very hard to defend that with Mahomes. So, you know, he'll still probably catch six balls in a game against a tough defense. At Denver, Indy, at Dallas, Houston, that's not good. It's in Kansas City. Chargers, Titans, Broncos for the fantasy playoffs. Not bad, but, you know, Denver in week 17 is not wonderful. Then you do have the Raiders in week 18. But Rashee Rice, that's, you know, I did the Adam Schefter podcast 2 weeks ago. He actually did predict this to me on the pod. I said it to our producer, Michael Cohen. But I'm not that shocked about it. And I'm still willing to take him because, again, major, 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 major needle mover. Moving on here, some other storylines. Dylan Gabriel named the QB2 for the Browns. Shedeur Sanders will be third. I know we have the preseason data on these two dudes. And Shedeur, I think the one thing that you got to give him some credit for is the lack of turnovers. But then look at that sack number. That is a bad sign, considering that was the knock on Shedeur. He holds onto the ball and got sacked a lot. If you get sacked a lot in college, you're probably going to get sacked a lot in the NFL. So I'm not that into the Browns for now. Flacco can hold down the fort. He does have good chemistry with Njoku. I'm sure he'll get the ball to everybody else. But we're going to see these rookies here. Dylan Gabriel, he does look pretty good. He's got a lot of moxie. I was around him at the Senior Bowl, and I remember one of our colleagues, our guy Brett Whitefield, interviewing him. He's dropping curse words. I'm like, damn, because he looks like he's 12. But, you know, he's definitely got a lot of attitude to him, and he plays well. I mean, he's got a live arm. You know, he's very, very capable, but the turnovers were not that good. Speaking of not that good, the Saints quarterback situation, it's not good. Spencer Rattler named the starter. We can look at Rattler and Tyler Shuck's numbers. The thing is, I know Tyler Shuck is like 40 years old. I'm exaggerating a little bit. I think he's 25. And he's a huge dude. I think he's not bad. Spencer Rattler, I've seen, and I think very confidently that he's not good. So I think Shuck is going to have to get a shot here at some point once Rattler shows that, well, he's not very good. Otherwise, in Dallas, we're, 8 days away from the opener, and Brian Schottenheimer says there will be a ramp-up period for Micah Parsons. I did make a prediction on Adam Thielen either yesterday or Monday that it would happen. Here's another one. Micah Parsons is playing week one on a limited snap count for the Dallas Cowboys, and he will be not as effective up against the world champion Eagles since he's been out of camp the entire way here. Well, as we mentioned with Thielen, he has been traded back to the Minnesota Vikings, a conditional seventh round pick, and it's not too shabby as I predicted. And hey, wheels up for JJ McCarthy. I mean, maybe this is a little knock on Justin Jefferson and Hockenson in terms of their volume, but this is the best receiving core in the National Football League with JJ. I understand zero starts, but we're looking really, really good in Minnesota. And it's a perfect receiver for a young quarterback too. He'll be that safety valve guy. Adam Thielen, it doesn't matter that he's old because he wins by savvy route running and precision and excellent and very, very strong hands. So wheels up on my Minnesota Vikings and JJ McCarthy. Also, the Jaguars traded for Lions wide receiver Tim Patrick. Number one, you know, they did need a little bit of size there at receiver. I don't think this affects anything like Brian Thomas or Travis Hunter, but what it does affect is Isaac Tesla, the rookie for the Detroit Lions, who he scored in every game. Really, really good. Really good vibes there. Then bad vibes on the Falcons. Caleb McGarry will miss the entire season with that leg injury that we knew was pretty serious. So that is a big-time buzzkill here for the Falcons. And Bijan Robinson losing your blindside protector as well for the quarterback. There's a look at what's happening right now in the NFL, and we will talk running backs on the other side. But first, the VSiN NFL Betting Guide is updated and ready for week one. Inside the NFL Betting Guide 2.0, you'll find post preseason team updates, proven betting strategies, contest strategies, and host best bets for opening weekend and beyond. Get access to this in the College Football Betting Guide for as little as $9.99 for your first 30 days. Head to vsin.com/subscribe to see which subscription works best for you. When we return on the other side of this Wednesday edition of the program, my plan of attack at the all-important running back position, as well as my player targets for your drafts this week on Prop Points here on VSiN.
Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. Wednesday edition of Prop Points rolls on here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen. FantasyPoints.com. Fantasy, that's what I've been all about for multiple decades here, 32 years, I think. I literally lost track, but I started in 1995. I had a website on the interweb in 95. It's still around. I did sell that site, so I'm not going to promote it. But 30 plus years of fantasy, which makes this show perfect for me because of building projections and all about projections, right? So, you know, we can see discrepancies with projections and props and all that stuff, but which is what we kind of do during the regular season, of course, but we are doing these shows before the week one kickoff. This is the time to draft, so we're squeezing in some fantasy content. And today we're talking running back, so let's talk my running back targets and my plan of action. Real quick, I'll start with the plan. I don't really want to draft a running back in round one. I think the wide receivers are the way to go. You know, there's only so many elites. There's about seven of them. And then once they're gone, that's it. You know, you have multiple tiers of a lot of sameness. You know, like tier two, guys like T. Higgins, JSN, solid, but not going to totally, you know, carry your ass potentially. And that's what you're looking for. You're looking for like a Jamar Chase from last year. So we'll talk wide receivers tomorrow. So my plan is basically to get at least one running back with my first three picks. I think that's fair. I'm always about balance. I don't want to go crazy. I've never, ever was a zero running back person. Even when that was in vogue, I was like, no. What am I, want to go into week one with a bunch of bums at running back? No. I am an old head. So back in the day, it was like, you got to start your draft running back. Things have changed. PPR is prevalent. wide receivers are crushing it more than ever because of the way the game has been constructed and designed with the rules to aid the passing attack. So let's get that wide receiver. And then in the next two rounds, let's get a running back. And here are the targets. By the way, one of the reasons why I like wide receiver in round one is because I like the running backs in round two, like Josh Jacobs, who is ADP-wise, he's the eighth running back off the board. He's not going to be a first-round pick. He'll absolutely get you in the – you'll be able to get him in the second round. Green Bay has very little else behind Josh Jacobs. I think the offense is going to bounce back. They won't run it as much, but look, he's a complete bell cow, three-down back. I will say this about Josh Jacobs, and he's currently hurt, but if he goes down, I'm telling you, Marshawn Lloyd is good. He's a guy I watched practice at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama a couple of years ago. Very, very, very good receiver. But he also, he can run it. You know, I mean, he might not be the greatest fit. He might be more of a power runner guy, you know, might not be a great zone runner, but he's good. And I saw enough from him in the preseason to be interested. I'm always interested in Jonathan Taylor, one of my favorite players of all time. When he was struggling his rookie year, I was screaming, trade for him, trade for him. Frank Reich is a dope. He's not giving this guy the ball. And then after a slow start, people were like, oh, he's a bust or he's the next Monty Ball. I'm like, no. And then he absolutely crushed it. And even last year, it wasn't fantastic, let's be honest. But you know what is fantastic? 303 carries. Third most in football. He was the RB7 in points per game, despite being really limited and held back by Anthony Richardson. So very good schedule, top 12 strength of schedule, and Scott Barrett's SOS article up at fantasypoints.com. I think the offense is pretty good. So I like JT as always. Love Chase Brown, one of my favorites of all time here, in terms of this year. Another guy that I was able to interview at the Combine, amazing young man. A bell cow roll awaits. I mean, he's looked good in the summer. They've adjusted the blocking scheme a little bit to suit his skill set a little bit more. Some of those quick hitters, those, you know, quick, you know, delay, draw, things like that. Like, that's kind of his game. You're not going to line up with him per se and run it downhill. Very good receiver. There's not much of a handcuff here to really prioritize, but I would have to say that would be Taj Brooks. By the way, Chase Brown is RB12. You can definitely get him in the second round. And next up, in terms of my target, as I said yesterday, or I think it was Monday, in terms of my overall plan at running back, you know, invest in these rookies. It's a great class, by the way. It's one of the best I've seen. And you're always going to get a little bit of a discount. It's a little bit of a buying opportunity simply because these dudes have not done anything in the NFL. But if you know what you're looking at, you know they're good. You know, like Trevion Henderson. I do have Amarian Hampton on the list. I'm listing these in order of ADP, by the way, at RB16. He's definitely going to share the ball with somebody, but we don't even know who that is. Maybe Hassan Haskins until Najee Harris is ready. But we all know what Greg Roman is going to do there in L.A. is run the rock. Trevion Henderson, RB22. You know, he might get into the third round, but probably fourth round is probably where you want to get him. I mean, he may top out at 200 touches, like 150 carries and 50 catches, but he's been tremendous. First touch in the NFL, took it to the house on a 100-yard kickoff return. He's looked very good otherwise. You can just see it. Like, he's faster than everybody else on the field. I know it's preseason, but you can absolutely see it, the explosiveness. So they're looking good in New England with Henderson. I also like R.J. Harvey. He is pretty explosive himself. He's very elusive. Our guy Graham Barfield over at fantasypoints.com has his own running back tool and metric. It's called yards created. In other words, how many yards are you creating on your own independent of your blockers? And he was second in this class behind Ashton Jeanty per Graham's charting. They did cut Audric Estime, and I'm not expecting all that much from J.K. Dobbins. I think J.K. stands for just kidding. I don't trust him. He looked pretty good last year, but he did wear down. Next up on my list of running back targets this year, and this is a pretty, you know, pretty good value, like fifth, sixth round, Aaron Jones. And I am an ageist, so I'm always worried about backing an old head, but 4.5 yards per carry last year. He was a solid 18th in yards after contact per attempt per fantasy points. That's out of 70 running backs with at least 50 carries. I think the offensive line is going to be outstanding in Minnesota. We get Christian Darrisaw back. It might take a month before we get everything, you know, cohesive, but they've got the most talent they've had up front in a long, long time. So I think Aaron Jones is a solid pick. I actually like Tony Pollard more, though. He is going off the board a little after Aaron Jones, not far after, RB27. Of course, Tajay Spears, who I do love, has been put on IR. So unfortunately, durability, that name is not Tajay Spears. So he's down for the first 4 weeks. So that's great news for Pollard. And there's another O-line. They have invested a ton of resources. They got like three number one picks. Might not come together very quickly, but let's not forget the last name of the head coach, Callahan. So they know offensive line work there in Tennessee. So I like that for Pollard. Ranked top five among running backs in yards after contact per attempt during three of the last four seasons. The only year he didn't was that year 2 years ago when he was coming off that leg thing. So he's been pretty darn good here. I do know that they want Spears to be involved, but again, Pollard's going to be, you know, handling at least 50% of the touches. I also like Jalen Warren. It's a little bit of a tricky call here with the rookie Caleb Johnson, but he's been kind of spotty. I know he's a good fit for the scheme with Arthur Smith, and I know they have Kenny Gainwell, who is good in pass pro, but Jalen Warren, I think, is probably going to be their guy, RB33. The vibes have been a little mixed, but it's all about Aaron Rodgers hating rookies, and Warren is pretty darn good. Also, Cam Scadabo, this is a long-term thing at RB34. I know Tyrone Tracy's in the driver's seat now, but they drafted Scadabo for his size, power, and receiving skills, and that could translate to pretty solid fantasy production in terms of short yardage, goal line, and third down work. Jordan Mason, I'm pretty clear he's going to get the ball, which I've been my contention all year. O-line looking good. Granted, he's not doesn't have a ton of upside, but if Aaron Jones goes down, then now we're looking at an RB2. Zach Charbonnet at RB38, I also like. I know Kenneth Walker is there, but he's going to have a role. Rashad White, I very much like. RB44, he's a very, very affordable. And then we've got Trey Benson at RB49 and Ray Davis. I like Trey Benson quite a bit. If James Conner goes down, we are looking good. We're going to talk running back data and props with our guy Ryan Heath. But first, before the line moves, the sharp plays are already there. They don't just follow the market. They help move it. You're not going to outsmart billion-dollar sports books or full-time sharps on your own. But with sharp plays, you don't have to. Powered by advanced AI and plugged into their insider sources, the sharp plays delivers the edge serious bettors use every day, free betting reports, real-time alerts, and market-moving insights sent straight to your inbox or X feed. Go to sharpplays.com, trusted by pros. Watch the books, visit sharpplays.com, and stay ahead of the line. Ryan Heath next.
Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to this Wednesday edition of Prop Points. I'm John Hansen of FantasyPoints.com, and smells like winning right now because we're going to the Progressive Guest Line to bring in Ryan Heath. Oh, wow. He's got a fancy new title as well. Lead data writer over at fantasypoints.com. He's on the X machine at RyanJ_Heath. If you're on X, you've probably seen Ryan. He's very much an emerging person in this field, in this space. What's up, Ryan? How are you?
Hey, I'm great, John. Yeah, happy to be back here on Prop Points. Yeah, we're so close to the season. I can feel it getting all these regular season vibes now, talking props. Yeah, I'm feeling great.
So you've got some props to pop out here. So we've been following everything in the offseason. We had our offseason narratives, but we've gone now through training camp and the preseason. So this is the optimal time to I don't know about betting per se, because some of these lines were probably better before, but it's definitely the optimal time to do your fantasy drafts. But, you know, the show is called Prop Points, and you are going to bring some propage here. So let's get right into it. You do have a lot of receivers. We'll talk receivers tomorrow in terms of fantasy. But your first one is, and by the way, I like them all. I actually gave one of them out already on this program this week. But your first one is Keon Coleman. And totally love this because I have not been in on Coleman yet. I'm below market his first 2 years, way below last year. Only a 44% catch rate, Ryan, as you likely know. And we get it. He's a little bit of a specialty player. He's not hopeless or worthless, you know, can beat man coverage. He's kind of an individual play guy, though. So I'm with you. 750.5. I don't see that at all. I'm under all day, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And first, I should say that just about every stat I'm going to give is from the Fantasy Points Data Suite, which is an awesome tool for prop betting. Highly recommend people check it out at data.fantasypoints.com. But yeah, with Keon Coleman, when you just compare him to rookie wide receivers that have been drafted on the first 2 days of the NFL draft over the last handful of years, the thing that sticks out is his average depth of target was very, very deep, over a 15 ADOT. Yeah. The other receivers that had such a long ADOT in their rookie seasons include guys like Jalin Hyatt, Trey Tucker, Dyami Brown, Jahan Dotson, Marvin Mims. Your only two guys that even cracked 600 receiving yards from this list in year two were George Pickens and Devontae Smith, who were both immediately fairly productive as rookies. They were up at 800, 900 there. So yeah, this line is baking in almost 200 additional receiving yards as a year two bump from Keon Coleman. And we just don't see the year two bump for guys that aren't really showing up as amazing in the league right away most of the time, right? So yeah I'm pretty happy to take the under here. And another big thing is the Bills signed Josh Palmer, who is kind of redundant with Coleman in the deeper areas of the field. All of his average separation score data on those routes was amazing. So yeah, I'm pretty low on Keon Coleman, both for fantasy and I think he's a good under here.
Do you think there's any chance that Josh Palmer, and I've always been a Josh Palmer person, do you think there's any chance that he emerges as, you know, I'm not saying go-to guy, you know, like alpha, but, you know, the one, you know, like settle it out and, you know, he's the one and maybe we even get to like 100 targets. Is there any chance there in your mind?
100 targets would be a little bit surprising to me, but I do think he could lead the team in receiving. He could lead the team in receiving. He could be like a decent weekly DFS play in some matchups with Josh Allen, but I'm not really seeing him as like a huge contributor either. Joe Brady just kind of does this wide receiver by committee thing where nobody gets like a 70% route share very consistently. So yeah, I'm just not that into any Bills receiver this year.
Yeah, I hear you. I like Palmer just because he's kind of a free pick. Yeah, 100 targets is a lot, but maybe like 75 or something, you know. But we shall see. Let's move onward and upward to another one I like. And I regret not giving Nico Collins a little bit more love last year because I knew he was good. I mean, I wasn't down on him at all, but I didn't like pound the table for him. But guess what? Now I am because I've watched the preseason and I have noticed that, you know, these two rookies from Iowa State, Higgins and Noel, are just not exactly ready for prime time. You've got Christian Kirk new to the team. So I'm feeling it with Nico getting fed the ball. Their O-line looks a little better. I feel like Stroud will level out a little bit, even out a little bit. Your thoughts on Nico? What do you love about him here at over 11, 25.5?
Yeah, so I mean, the O-line being what it is, I would still say it's very shaky. And It's especially shaky, them just not having a run game really whatsoever. We've got Joe Mixon starting the year on the NFI list. There are kind of the rumors are getting worse and worse in terms of if he's going to play at all this year. We've got extremely washed Nick Chubb per his own coach. So there's just nothing going on in the run game here to the point where I think the Texans are going to be forced to be one of the pass heaviest team in the league. That was kind of true last year, except for exactly on second and long, where Bobby Slovic had them as one of the run heaviest teams. He just loved jamming Joe Mixon into the line on second and nine over and over and over again. Right. So we've got Slovic out of here. New OC Nick Caley was very heavy on the play action stuff when he was the Rams pass game coordinator last year. Play action has been incredible for Nico Collins' efficiency. Averaged nearly 5 yards per out run on play action last year. Maybe it's not going to be as easy or always be as effective with the run game issues, but I think they're going to try to do it a lot more. And yeah, overall, it should not be very difficult for Collins to get over this 1,125 receiving yards mark. Yeah, just because that this is going to be the only way the Texans can move the ball this year. All we really need is for him to stay healthy for most of the season, and it should not be difficult at all for him to hit this over.
Should not be difficult at all for George Pickens to go over 5.5 receiving touchdowns. I mean, come on. Some of the best ball skills of all time. You know, CeeDee Lamb is a great player, but, you know, I don't know if he's a red zone guy per se. I feel like Pickens would be a better option there. There also is a news about Jonathan Mingo. So, you know, he's on IR. So what are your thoughts here on Pickens? Because similar to what we just said about the Texans, I think the Cowboys are going to have to throw it almost on every down as well.
Yeah, no, that helps this a ton for sure. What also helps it a ton is that we have seen Pickens be used heavily in the red zone, especially last year, but kind of have terrible luck. Like, he is one of the biggest positive regression candidates in terms of his end zone targets this year. He had 13 last year, but we have charters at Fantasy Points Data that watch every single game, chart every single play. Only 4 of those 13 end zone targets were on target accurate throws last year, and he caught 2 of them. So now we're with Dak Prescott. Over the last 3 seasons, Dak has been the 3rd most accurate QB in the red zone, over a 50% highly accurate throw rate. Our expected touchdowns model last year would have had Pickens at 7.6 expected touchdowns based on the amount of his targets and the location of those targets. And now he's on an offense where, yeah, as you said, he could easily run 100 to 200 more routes over the season just because they're going to be much pass heavier than the Steelers were. So yeah, 5.5 receiving TDs is extremely easy for Pickens. I'm expecting him to approach double digits this year. So yeah, this is a really solid prop.
Well, and then we only have 30 seconds, but we already talked Drake May. You like over 50.5, but you are a Patriots person. So 30 seconds on Drake May. Go.
Yeah, let's do it. So, I mean, he was at 421 total rushing yards last year and only 12 starts and only 7 designed runs being called for him the entire season. We've seen Josh McDaniels call a ton of designed runs, even for a super old Cam Newton back in 2020. We have quotes from this coaching staff that they want to get May going in the design run game more. Historically, when guys have been good scramblers, as May was last year, they have been given more designed runs in the following season. Yeah, everything just points to May hitting that over. And yeah, he's an awesome late round fantasy pick as well.
He is Ryan Heath of fantasypoints.com. We'll follow him on the X machine here at RyanJ_Heath. Great stuff as always, Ryan. Good luck with all the propage, and we'll be checking back with you maybe weekly, but definitely on a semi-regular basis.
Yeah, thank you. Excited to be on this season whenever I can.
You got it. There he is, Ryan Heath. And then we'll talk running back props that I like next here on Prop Points.
Talking Prop Points with the guru, John Hansen, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Think you're better than the experts? Prove it in the Edge Boost Average Joe Contest, the same pick'em format as the Circa Friday Football Invitational with the pros. The top average Joe earns a spot in next year's 25 Pro Circa Invitational Field. It's free to play. You can register anytime during the season to be eligible for weekly and quarterly prizes. Plus, each week, the highest score gets a $500 Edge Boost deposit. And if the weekly winner already has an Edge Boost account, that prize is boosted to $1,000. Make sure you're eligible. Sign up at edgeboost.bet with the promo code VSiN. Enter the contest today at VSiN.com/Joe. And welcome back to the final segment of this Wednesday edition of Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm John Hansen. Time to pop out my favorite running back props for this upcoming season. Next week, we'll talk week one props, but now we're talking seasonal props. This segment, these props are brought to you by GBank. GBank is built with sports bettors in mind. Right now, you can earn a $50 cash back reward bonus once you're approved and your account is open with the GBank Visa Signature Card. While most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances, even when it's your own money, GBank treats them as regular purchases. That means no cash advance fees, saving you up to a 3-5% on every deposit. 3-5% on every deposit adds up. Plus, you'll earn 1% cash back on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions and 2% cash back on everything else you buy. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank. Well, let's start with the best. And, you know, I do have some information here in terms of the actual projections compared to these props from fantasypoints.com. And the one I'm going to go with as like, look, I like them all about the same, quite frankly, but one of them's got to be one. And I'm going to go with Derrick Henry, 1350.5, -105. We over at Fantasy Points have him projected for 1536. That is 14% more. I mean, basically, it comes down to an injury. Will Derrick Henry miss multiple games? But my man flirted with 2,000 this year. He could miss 5 games and still get this. I don't know if it's possible for Derrick Henry to miss 5 games. I'm not sure. Not sure he's a human being at this point, but that's another story for another day. But I know this. I'm going over 1350.5 on Derrick Henry. I'm also going to go over on Ashton Jeanty because he's going to get the ball. It's Pete Carroll and Chip Kelly and the Raiders. So and a pretty decent O-line. And, you know, back in the day, you know, if you're a running back and you went over 1,000 yards, you're like, hey, proud of you. But it's not that big of a deal these days, and it hasn't been for a while. So it's 1,050.5 is the number for Jeanty. We have him projected for 1,350. That is 25% more. I think that's significant, so I do like that. Let's mix in a buzzkill under here, and I was in on this in the VSiN betting guide. And by the way, it's been bet down since I was in on it at under 1,500.5. Now it's 1,425 for Saquon Barkley. That's a pretty big chunk of the number that's been bet down maybe since we put out the betting guide in July. But maybe a lot of other people are just sharing a brain here. Now, the odds aren't great, -140. But I think it's ironic that, you know, the odds, if you want to take the under, are bad. What does that mean? Like, you should take it. Take the under and pay the bad odds, basically. So that's kind of what I'm thinking with that Saquon Barkley. I mean, I think the Eagles, obviously, they're good. Probably still the cream of the NFC crop, of course, but they are weakened from last year. I don't think they're going to be quite as good. I don't think the defense is going to be quite as good. They lost some players, and the schedule's a lot tougher. Philadelphia Eagles haven't repeated as divisional champs in over 20 years. Now, It would be a shock if they didn't, but based on history, they're not. I don't think they're going to repeat as Super Bowl champs, that's for sure. Moving on, love this one here. Travion Henderson, over 700.5 rushing yards. Again, we're trying to exploit a little bit of a hole in the system, if you will, in that, well, the rookie numbers are going to be somewhat suppressed just because they're rookies, but the Patriots brought in Henderson for a reason. By the way, no fumbles. Dude doesn't fumble. And I saw him finishing some runs in the NFL in the preseason where I'm like, damn. I mean, for a guy who is so explosive and fast, he accelerates ridiculously. He's also tough. He finishes runs like and doesn't fumble. So, I mean, he's awesome. So Henderson's going to go over 700.5 yards. We have him projected for 837. That's 19% higher. Now, next one here is a little weird. I don't love Caleb Johnson. I really don't. But over 725.5, I'll go over. We're over at Fantasy Points, only 10% over this. I'm not really trying to waffle because I do like Jalen Warren for fantasy as a, you know, affordable RB3 in like round 8 or 9. But I know that they brought in Caleb Johnson for a reason because they certainly need that, you know, early down back, and he is a good fit for Arthur Smith's zone scheme and all that good stuff. So I think he's going to get this number, basically. I don't know if he's going to be a good fantasy pick, but I'll go over 725.5 because they're going to be pretty run heavy with Aaron Rodgers and Arthur Smith. It's Artie Smith. If this man could play with a leather helmet, he would. Next up is Jahmyr Gibbs. Like this a lot. We are projecting over at fantasypoints.com 12.2 touchdowns, rushing touchdowns. He'll go over 10.5. We have that 16% higher. I know David Montgomery is there. He's getting a little older. They're going to continue to run the rock. And I think Gibbs is going to get a little bit more work just because they're going to need that explosiveness. So I like Gibbs as always. Just going to, it's going to be a costly draft pick for you. I do prefer to go wide receiver early in round one or anytime in round one, but I'm not against taking Gibbs. I'll take him at like 7 or something if he slipped. Next up, Amarian Hampton. Again, rookies, buying opportunity, suppressed numbers. This is what we're looking at. Is Amarian Hampton good? Yes, he is good. Does Greg Roman like to run the ball? Yes, he does. Now, the loss of Rashawn Slater, left tackle, is a buzzkill, but we're projecting 1,011 rushing yards, and the prop is 850. So we're 19% over that. Greg Roman has never seen a running game concept that he didn't like. So Amarian Hampton is absolutely going to go over these props here. So that is pretty much all we have here in terms of the propage. There were a couple of others that I considered, but I am trying my best, and I will do this during the season. I mean, the show's called Prop Points. We like to talk props, but sometimes we go a little overboard just, you know, for quantity, for programming and all that. I'm trying to be very, 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 very picky. So as I stared at the board, these were, what do we got here? 8. These were the 8, 9, no, actually only 7 that I really liked. So let's be a little picky with it. But these, if you play them all, we're going to keep track of it all. I think you will, in fact, emerge victorious. Coming up next here on VSiN, stay tuned. Money Moves with Stormy and Jonathan Von Tobel. That is up next at 2 p.m. Eastern. Notice I'm still scared to try to pronounce Stormy's last name. I know I'm pretty sure I could do it, but, I mean, Stormy, what else do we need to say, you know? You just go by Stormy. We're good. It's very rare air that you can do that, but, you know, Madonna, you know, things like Cher, Stormy. On today's show, Chris Vasily lines up EPL pricing and weekend matchup betting angles, followed by Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard at 4 p.m., and then stick around VSiN Primetime with Scott Seidenberg at 7 p.m. And tomorrow on the program, tomorrow and Friday, we are going to be all about receiver props. I'll talk wide receivers and tight ends. We also have IDP props and our resident IDP prop guru, Justin Varnes, who absolutely crushed it for us late in the year. He's going to come on tomorrow and pop out three or four IDP props that are absolute money. And then also the grinder, Tom Brawley of fantasypoints.com, will join us because he has got a great article in the new VSiN betting guide, the updated VSiN betting guide. And he'll join us and talk about all the movers and the shakers here in the month of August. But that is a wraparoni on this year's program. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you to Michael Cohen for producing it. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, 1 p.m. Eastern, here for another edition of Prop Points on VSiN.